Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of the Big Footy Podcast Off-Season Extra. And today I'm talking to Ben McCormack, the General Manager of AFL Europe. Good evening, Ben.
Good morning for me, Jason.
Ben, we could start with perhaps how you got involved with AFL Europe. I mean, it's a long way from Australia, and you're obviously Australian.
Yes, correct. It is a long way, and was following, I'd worked with the AFL in Australia, based out of Canberra across southern New South Wales and the ACT in a club development role, and following that had a role with the ACT government in sport and rec. We, myself and my wife, decided to move over to Europe and pursue working. At the time, we were planning on working at the Olympics. So we packed up and were ready to go, and I found out about this job through a contact that was still at the AFL. Only about 2 weeks before leaving Australia to move over here anyway, and thankfully was lucky enough to get the role.
And what is your role? I mean, it's general manager, but what does that entail?
Yeah, it's everything really. It's all encompassing in terms of AFL Europe's been set up by the membership, which is the 21 countries, to create a group or create a governing body for them to come to for information to help them grow and help them with their operations and run the European-wide events for them, I guess. That was set up by a guy, Jared Murphy, was the initial chairman, and there's a group of seven board members or commission members, we call them. From that, my role is to then deliver on the operations that they want to us to undertake as an organisation. So that revolves around, you know, main focuses on some talent stuff that we run on behalf of the AFL, both in Ireland and across Europe. The Easter Series event, which is the Australian AFL-AIS Academy come across, which is the best 30 kids in the country, or let's call it the best set of kids in the world, come across to Europe on a tour and play against a European select team with all Europeans. So they're sort of two events that, or two programs that we run on behalf of the AFL. And then the rest of my role is around servicing the membership within Europe, and that's sort of the main focus, which is to get around to all of the countries, work out where they're at, assist them with coaching development, umpire development. If they've got questions about how to run leagues, how to start clubs, and we've now started up some grants programs as well to try and help kickstart the growth of the game in new markets.
Okay, you said it represents 21 countries.
Mm-hmm.
How many teams does that represent?
So we have 127 teams, male teams, and 5 female teams, as well as teams or classes, around about 50 of high school youth teams as well.
That's not a bad effort. Most of those youth teams, are they're in the UK, are they? Or
a fair portion of the UK. Guy Rick Schrouder has been doing some programs up in Newcastle in junior development. Huddersfield and Wolverhampton have got some junior development activities as well. So they do attribute a fair portion of those.
So there's new teams starting up all the time. Well, not all the time, I guess, but recently there's a bit of a spate of them in England and Scotland, at least. The one that came up on my Twitter feed today, whose name I've already forgotten again, and I think the Kangaroos and the Scottish applied for the Scottish League.
So we've got the Wearside. Wearside is trying to start up a team which is around the Sunderland area. And that's been driven by a guy that started the Tyneside Tigers, which is within Newcastle, so they're very close together. And the Kingdom Kangaroos, who are sort of based out of the Fife region of Scotland, are two of the new ones. We have a startup club program that we're providing new clubs with footies and trying to connect them and bring second-hand football jumpers across from Australia, from any team basically that's happy to donate a set of jumpers, because equipment's really hard to get. So we've had about, I think we had 6 or 7 new clubs across Europe within this year. And I think people are seeing that with a little bit of support, and that we're connecting across Europe better than we ever have, they're understanding that there's lessons that have been learnt already and knowing the best ways to start clubs. And that's part of our role, is facilitating that as well.
And do the international tournaments that you have, like the Euro Cup, the 9-a-side tournament, and the European Championships, the 18-a-side tournament, do they help with that?
Massively so. They are really key parts of our calendar in terms of their times when our groups of football people get together and share ideas, share laughs, and play games of football, because it's important in this environment over in Europe. You know, we're not country Victoria, where every 10 minutes you drive down the road there's another club. A lot of these people that are involved and that are volunteering massive amounts of time to the growth of the game and just the running of their clubs can quite often feel isolated because it may be 600 kilometres to the next group of 15 people that are interested in our sport. So those tournaments where they come together as national teams, the Euro Cup is the most amazing day of football that anyone could ever wish to experience. When you see 18 to 20 different nations, not an Australian expat in sight other than the people watching the games or coaching, and all the different languages, colour and flair that they bring from their own cultures, all mashed into one huge day of footy. If you're a football fan and you love this sport as much as I do, you can't get enough of those sort of opportunities. And for the Europeans, it's great because they see that there's a whole community of people doing the same things, fighting the same battles and enjoying the same sport, and they're not just part of a small little community. It's actually a growing, vibrant community in Europe.
Yeah, it also seems to me, like having talked to a few of the countries on the continent, as it were, so far, that there seems to be less and less involvement from expats and Australians. It's like talking to the Croatian guys, there's no expats there.
The
French guys were telling me there's like 10 or 12 Australians in like amongst 200 players. I mean, it does seem that the Australian influence is lessening, but the game is still growing.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the most encouraging, exciting part, I think, is that, and it's certainly something that when we go out and talk to clubs and leagues, is we encourage that if there is an Australian involved, and there's an Australian that's been involved in starting up the club, starting up the league, it's really critical that they, as soon as possible, start to get locals involved in the running and the structures of the game. Because the reality is that in most of these places, the Australians are there for a short period of time and they do move home. And the last thing that we want to see is that they put in 3 or 4 years of really hard work in setting something up and getting people excited about the sport. But if they're the only one that was ever doing anything in terms of putting the content on the field every Saturday or you know, once a month or whatever the structure is, when they go home, it can just all fall over. So it's really critical for the sport to continue with its growth that, and a lot of the countries have realised that they're getting locals involved in running the sport, starting clubs, coaching, umpiring, and the reliance on expat Australians is reducing year by year.
Okay. How many countries competed at the last EU Cup, the one that was held this year?
Yeah, the Axios Euro Cup, which we had in Bordeaux, we had 12 nations. We actually had 11 nations, and the 12th team was the European Crusaders, which was made up of players from countries that didn't have full squads to send to the Euro Cup. So we have that capability to create a Crusaders team as well.
Okay, and the Euro Championships, how often is that held?
So the European Championships are won every 3 years, and it's traditionally been the year before the International Cup to give them those teams with ambitions to take a 18-a-side team to Australia 12 months out from that competition to give them a week-long competition of playing 18-a-side football.
Okay. And how big is that championship? Like how many teams would turn up for that?
In Dublin, we had 6. Unfortunately, we had a couple of nations pull out not long before the tournament, so we were hopeful of 8 or 10. It is a really big ask because footballers all across Europe, and this is not different from probably anywhere else in the world, that because our clubs are so spread and we don't have many city-based competitions yet, throughout the year they may travel, to play a game, they may travel literally 400, 500, 600 kilometres each way, catch an overnight train or, jump in a car and drive through the night, play a game of footy and jump back in the car and drive home. So the cost to the players to play this game here is expensive. And then when we play an international tournament, they're asked to fly from Croatia to Ireland and take a week off work. And so culturally, and that can be different. Each country has different amounts of holidays as well. There's a big demand on their time for what is a niche sport in this market. So that's one of the battles that we face. And the reality is that there's only, there's probably 10 to 12 countries at the moment that could put together an 18-a-side team to compete.
Okay. How many players would there be in Europe at the moment, at a guess?
We're over 5,000 now, so we're just a little bit more than 5,500 sort of counted or registered participants across the whole of Europe.
That's pretty impressive.
We're really happy, and the growth it's sort of grown year on year the 3 years that I've been here. And that we've been actually collecting those numbers. So those things are encouraging. I guess the gap in the participation market for us across Europe is junior footy, which we all know is the most resource-intensive, expensive and time-consuming development activity that you can undertake.
Just on that, what kind of junior programs are running at the moment?
So the things that exist are all purely run by, volunteers, keen expats or locals that want to provide opportunities to play junior footy. So there's little spot fires throughout Europe of people doing things in schools. But what we haven't been able to do yet is create a one sort of program that we'd like to roll out across all of Europe and say, this is the program. The biggest challenge is to make a self-sufficient, self-sustaining program that pays for itself without reliance on external funding. So, when you're working across 21 different countries, the ways that you get into schools can change from region to region, let alone country to country.
Okay, so what would be the biggest barriers to growth?
It's probably the presence of full-time development officers. The structure that works in Australia of having full-time development officers that dedicate, their working week to identifying schools, selling programs, and going in and delivering those. We're really, really sure if we had that capability that the product is strong and that people would take up those opportunities within schools. The issue that we face, and there's no quick fix to it other than finding a sheik or an oil baron, is that we need a whole lot of money to be able to do something like that.
Yeah, and that's the same old tune that's been sung around the world.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're working with a group called Aussie X, who you may or may not have spoken to yet in Canada, who's an Australian guy that started a company over there. They go into schools and sell cricket, football and netball programs.
Yep.
Doing a great job. I've seen something like 130,000 Canadian kids over the last 4 or 5 years, and have a program that's self-funding and self-sufficient. So we're continuing to work with them on seeing if there's a capability to roll out what they do in Canada in Europe, and hopefully we have something along those lines shortly.
Cool. Okay. Where do you see the future, like in a couple of years' time, for AFL in Europe?
I think what a couple of years is hopefully a really continued stable base of what we're doing. I think a couple of years isn't going to see anything radical shift. Where I think the big changes can come for us in Europe is a generational, the next generation. So what we're trying to do is give people experiences that they'll never forget, centred around our game of Australian rules football, and that's through events like the Euro Cup, the European Championships, the International Cup plays an important part in that, and the Easter Series, where we bring in the youth around Europe to come and play against the future Australian rules football stars that are going to get drafted tomorrow, basically. The top 30 of those were over here in Europe over Easter, and we'll have our next group again in April next year. By giving our Europeans those amazing experiences, we feel that when their playing days are finished and they start their families, hopefully there'll be a desire to start junior footy, either clinics, clubs, programs, so that their kids can play this game that they've fallen in love with. And I think that's the big shift. So for me, what I'm really excited to see is in 20 to 25 years' time, and see these people that have had these experiences, and then when their kids are getting to that 18 to 19-year-old age group and their kids that have grown up with Australian rules footy, Europeans, I think that's when we'll see a huge, huge growth in the game.
Okay. I don't have any other questions. If I wanted to be involved in Australian football in Europe, what would be the best way to go about that?
If you're an Australian moving over here, the best way to do that is jump on our website, afleurope.org. There's a play footy section there which has all of our countries that have currently got football activities. If you're moving to one of those countries, look up where your local club will be, if there's one in your city that you're moving to. If there's not, start a club, get in touch with us. We can help you go through contacting the local league and working out ways to start clubs. That's how it's, how the growth has occurred so far. And if you're moving to a country where there is no footy, again, get in touch. It can be as simple as sending over 3 or 4 footballs and you going down to the local pub and pulling 3 blokes out or three people out of the pub for a kick, and you'd be surprised how many leagues have started in that sort of a fashion. So certainly get in touch with us is the best way to get involved.
Okay. I've been talking to Ben McCormack, the General Manager of AFL Europe today. Thank you very much for coming in, Ben.
Pleasure, Jason. Thanks.